seems like the song we've just sung, Live Closer to Jesus, has a very pertinent message for each one of us today. I noted the last verse we sung to the importance of living closer to Jesus, because these bright days will not last. Soon cometh the dark ones. And I think this is a message actually throughout time. And this song certainly is pertinent of our day, but even in days past, we find the prophets of old prophesying to the people. And today I want to turn to Isaiah, the 51st chapter, and the first three verses, and bring some things out that I feel are very important, that the prophet Isaiah many years ago spoke unto those people of Jerusalem and that area round about there. Already the lost tribes had been led away into captivity. And according to dates, this is some like 712 years before Christ. And we find, before I read this, there's another little related reference from Isaiah 39 that I would like to read, the fifth and the sixth verses. Then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and all that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And throughout this book of Isaiah, we find the prophet Isaiah telling these people of their responsibilities. And we find here in this particular instance, he told Hezekiah that the time would come when they would be led away into Babylon, and all the things, there would be not a thing left, not nothing would be left. And in this same year, this same prophecy that I want to build upon today in Isaiah 51, the first three verses, is, and that was given in the same year. And I give this other as kind of a background. And this again shows responsibility of those people. And yet this responsibility is right here, this moment, in this room. And it's for the rest of the peoples on the earth. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness. Now there is a command. Do this. Ye that seek the Lord. Further saying, hearken. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion, he will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Now, this particular reading I'm going to build upon today and enlarge upon each verse in order. The first verse here, I want to bring out a little more completely our responsibility. It says first here, or to any people he's speaking to, that follow after righteousness. And he says, and the Lord of old told Isaiah to say this, hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. In other words, pay attention to what the Lord has to say. And there is a message today for this nation and this world. There is a responsibility of the people that live now in this dispensation of time. And as I've said before, it's a time unique in history, different than any other time any other people have ever lived. And even a lot of these prophets would have longed to have been right here today in this area to see these things being fulfilled that they prophesied of. But now part of this right directly referred to those of Jerusalem and those round about there then. But it pertains equally as great today. And then he said, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn. Look from what ye came forth, and look what you're doing, so to speak, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. And one of the rocks, and I believe it could be inferred here, and I think this is a rather broad statement, this rock. But we do know one thing, that there is a rock in the Scripture referred to as Jesus Christ. He is the chief cornerstone of the church. He is the head one. Even though first in this church were placed 12 apostles, or apostles as it's worded in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter in verses 28 through about 31, we can read that. But anyway, we know the responsibility of following Jesus Christ. And if we rely upon him and his doctrine, according to a writer in 3 Nephi, it says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. And I'll tell you what, it's going to become very important that you and I rely upon Jesus Christ much more fully than we have in the past. He must become a way of life with each one of us. We must become oriented in his way of thinking and doing. We know we can't be the same person as he is. But he has left Scripture here. He has caused that men might be called and ordained to proclaim this Scripture. And so we have a responsibility today, not only ministry, but every one of us in this room today, to serve God and look to the rock from whence we are hewn. And then in verse 2 it says, look unto Abraham your father. And this is a rather broad statement. And unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. Now there's a lot of promises made to this man Abraham of old, who was called alone, and he increased him in goods as well as in other things, even in spiritual stature. And we know there's much proclaimed in the Scripture about the faith of Abraham. He is called faithful Abraham. And some of this I want to touch upon today before I go into verse 3. I would like to turn to the 15th chapter of the book of Genesis and read verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. So these things came to Abram as he was called then. Later his name was called Abraham and changed to that. But right here it's Abram. And he had this vision that told him to fear not, Abram. And he said he was his shield and he was his great reward. And the reason, and that's just a background verse for what I want to read in verses 5 through 7. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look. And this is to Abraham. Look now toward the heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. He said unto him, so shall thy seed be. So the seed of Abraham was to be even as innumerable as the stars of heaven, without number, so to speak. Because we can't really number the stars. No man could really try. And so it is with the seed of Abraham. It is a great host of people. And he, what? He believed in the Lord, and he counted it unto him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. Now this is the thing here. And I don't know how many people in this world today would be able to do what Abraham did. He was a man that was well secured in the area that he lived, but he was commanded to leave what he had and go to another place. So there was a lot expected of Abraham of old. And as I brought out here in this reading of Isaiah, it said here, I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. He became even rich in goods. And he was a man with a lot of common sense. When it come to dividing up the land that they was going to go to there, he let Lot take the first choice. We remember the story how there was strife between the herdsmen of Lot and Abraham. And he says, let this not be. We're brothers. We're brethren. And so he gave him the choice, and he took, Lot took the rich land, and I believe the way the story was, Abraham took the hill country. But anyway, he was a man with a lot of common sense, because he didn't want the strife, and there was no strife as a result of it. He preferred his own fellow being. I would like to turn to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, because this too ties with Abraham. And this is found in verses 8 through 13. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. Now that took a lot of faith. It took a lot of endurance. But he did what God wanted him to do, and he was blessed as a result. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. So we notice here first Abraham, then Isaac, and then Jacob, heirs of this same wonderful promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And all we got to do is turn to Genesis, and we find out that she was 90 years old. We find out that Abraham was 100. And that's a rather late age for childbearing. At first, it seemed as a strange thing to Sarah when she was told she would have a child in her old age, and she laughed. But it was so. It was the Lord's will that there should be posterity. And that posterity was born, and it came right on down through Isaiah and later Jacob. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. That's Abraham, 100 years old. So many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Now that's what was left to the posterity of Abraham. Could not even be numbered. These all died in faith. I want you to notice this. Everyone, the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and their posterity has come along, specifically those three, all died in faith, not having received the promises. They had all these wonderful promises. They went ahead, but they didn't receive it. But having seen them afar off, it was for a future day, all this wonderful promise and the covenant that the Lord God made unto Abraham and his seed. And later, more specifically, we might call Israel. And were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So really, they left their land, and they would become strangers and pilgrims upon the earth. But they didn't receive what yet one day would be. And I kind of like the way this story goes here. It shows a lot of responsibility today. I'd like to turn to the third chapter of Galatians, because it too goes with this. This is found in verses 5 through 7. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Now that's what Paul was saying to these Galatians. Those that ministered this gospel and these different things to you the Spirit, does he work miracles among you? Doeth he do these works by the law or by the hearing of faith? And we know that the Mosaic law was actually fulfilled, and it wasn't by the law, but it was by the hearing of faith. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. So Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And this is something, really, because we can see that his faith And his believing God and willing to comply, it was counted unto him this way. Now here is the verse I want you to really notice, this seventh verse. Know ye therefore that they which are the faith, the same are the children of Abraham. No matter who you are or where you are, the same that are of the faith are the children of Abraham. And we know there is direct lineage. But also those who are of that faith and follow that faith. I'd like to turn back again now to Isaiah, the 51st chapter. And maybe this for the reading now, I'd like to reread verse 2. And so Isaiah said, look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. And I gave all these other references to show of what they did. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. And then we have another verse, 3. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden. The Eden is the Garden of Eden in the beginning. Like Eden, that's the way it'll be. This is hard to maybe even conceive of what it would be like. And her desert like the Garden of the Lord. That's Zion. The desert will be like the Garden of the Lord. And not only that, it says joy and gladness shall be found therein. It will be an exceptionally happy place. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. And the voice of melody is where they love to sing together. And it tells here that they came with singing unto Zion. I'll have that here pretty shortly. And that voice of melody will be there. And thanksgiving. There is a responsibility. We can turn to various ones of the writers in the New Testament, especially stress the importance of being a thankful people and a thanking God. We find Alma of old admonishing his son to thank him when he received things after he had prayed for him. So it's nothing new, but that's a type of a background that will be. Now if we just drop on down a little further in this same reading to verse 11. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Is it any wonder that there are some of those of old who would like to look forward to this day? And yet it's going to be a day of tribulation and trial such as has never been, such as was a nation down unto this time. And we live in a part of that day. But we haven't begun to see all that will be unfolded yet. Let's read on here. I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die? And yet today, on the face of this earth, there's fear. And there's getting more fear as time unfolds. And we know that our once peaceful valley here, that there's becoming more and more fear. There's become murders and thefts such as we never had as common. It wasn't as common before. Where it was once a rarity, now it has become a common thing. And all over our nation there is fear taking a hold of the lives of people. Fearful. One thing, not only of their lives, but of their possessions. But do you know there's one place in the Book of Mormon that says they'll hide their things at this day and they'll become slippery. Even though you hide them well, you won't be able to retain them. And the only hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the hope that's held out by these prophets of old and in our Heavenly Father. That's where the hope is. Our trust must be there, number one, because what we possess could be wiped away tomorrow morning. It's plain and simple. I'm not saying it will be, but our trust better be in He who can sustain you regardless of what it is. Even as He took the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt and led them across the Red Sea and into another land. He fed them for 40 years in the wilderness. And even that would have been unnecessary if they would have had the faith that this man of old had, Abraham. If they'd have went into that promised land and not been fearful. And when they went up and sent out those 12 spies to look out the land, and two of them brought back a good report, Joshua and Caleb. Let's go do it. We can do it. And the other says, no, we can't do it. We're scared of them. They're as giants. We're like little old grasshoppers running around here. We're nothing in their sight. And they were fearful to go in there. And the Lord was distressed at this fearful people. And they went up there and compassed this land for 40 days. So he says, for every day you was there, 40, it will be a year you will wander 40 years in this wilderness. And all of you from a certain age, I believe it was about 20 years older and older, would die. And they wouldn't even get to go into that promised land that they longed for. It would only be their young and their children and their little ones. What a thing, though. And they could have went in there if they just pressed out with that faith. And that's why we live by faith and not just by that law, for sure. And it goes further here. Why shouldest thou be afraid of a man that shall die? And of the Son of Man, which shall be made as grass. And forgettest the Lord thy Maker. There is the clue. They're fearful. And today, that's happening right here before our lives. Fear is why? Because they've forgotten the Lord their Maker. It plainly says in the Scripture that perfect love casteth off all fear. We also find, and you hear me saying this time and time again, I'm going to go on saying it, like Moroni said, pray with all the energy of your heart that you might be filled with the pure love of Jesus Christ, or with that love which is charity, which is a pure love of Christ. And that is our responsibility today. And forgettest the Lord thy Maker that has stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and has feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor. My goodness, it sure fits now. It fit then, but it sure fits now. As if he were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? Where is it anyway? I want to read a related reference from 1 Nephi, the 7th chapter. And in verses 28 through 35. We've been bringing somewhat out about the Jews and Israel, Abraham. And so, let's read in verse 28. And every nation which shall war against thee, O house of Israel, shall be turned one against another. And that will happen just like it says. It is yet a future event. Right now, this is going to happen. In the future. And they shall fall into the pit which they dig to ensnare the people of the Lord. And all that fight against Zion shall be destroyed. And that great whore who hath perverted the right ways of the Lord, yea, that great and abominable church, shall tumble to the dust, and great shall be the fall of it. For behold, saith the prophet, the time cometh speedily that Satan shall have no more power over the hearts of the children of men. That's speaking of the time of the millennium reign. And then he goes on a little different train of thinking here. For the day soon cometh that all the proud and they who do wickedly shall be as stubble. And the day cometh that they must be burned. For the time soon cometh that the fullness of the wrath of God shall be poured out upon the children of men. For he will not suffer that the wicked shall destroy the righteous. And that's the way it is there. As plain and simple as can be. So where is the fury of the oppressor as we read here in Isaiah? Now I like to read verses 15 and 16. But I am the Lord thy God that divided the sea. Didn't he divide the sea that when they crossed the Red Sea? And put a wall of water on one side and one on the other and caused the wind to blow, and they crossed through dry shod, and those who followed after him were destroyed. Whose waves roared, the Lord of hosts is his name. And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. What a wonderful, beautiful statement that is. But let me tell you, there's going to have to be some progress made, plain and simple as can be. Those who desire to be a part of this wonderful thing must take responsibility fully and must not take it lightly. The responsibility of serving God and His Son Jesus Christ and keeping the commandments that they've set here for us to keep. I would like to turn over to page 37 in the Book of Mormon. This is in verses 187 through 189, and then I'll read a little more as well. And blessed are they who shall seek to bring forth my Zion at that day, for they shall have the gift and power of the Holy Ghost. Now, what day is he talking about? Well, we need to back up, I guess, and read the three verses before that from verse 183. And after the Gentiles do stumble exceedingly because of the most plain and precious parts of the gospel of the Lamb, which have been kept back by that great and abominable church, which is a mother of harlots, saith the Lamb, I will be merciful unto the Gentiles in that day, insomuch that I will bring forth unto them in mine own power much of my gospel, which shall be plain and precious, saith the Lamb. And this is speaking of the coming forth of the Book of Mormon and the plain and precious things that it would contain. For behold, saith the Lamb, I will manifest myself unto thy seed. That's plain and simple, isn't it? That they shall write many things which I shall minister unto them, which shall be plain and precious. And after thy seed shall be destroyed and dwindle in unbelief, and also the seed of thy brethren, behold, these things shall be hid up to come forth unto the Gentiles by the gift and power of the Lamb. Now, this very record from which this book was taken was hid up. After the people become ripe in iniquity there, and it was hid up. And then it says, it shall come forth unto the Gentiles by the gift and power of the Lamb, and that was done. This book was translated by means of interpreters, seers, stones, or whatever you want to call them, Urim and Thummim. Anyway, it was translated by the power of God. A language that was not able to be read by him who was able to translate it. He had to do it by the gift and power of God. And it says here, and the Gentiles by the gift and power of the Lamb. And in them shall be written my gospel, saith the Lamb, and my rock and my salvation. So we have another record right here in addition to the Bible which we have. And then it goes on, the first verse I read. And blessed are they who shall seek to bring forth my Zion at that day, for they shall have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost. That same gift and power shall be theirs. And if they endure unto the end, they shall be lifted up at the last day and shall be saved in the everlasting kingdom of the Lamb. And whoso shall publish peace, yea, tidings of great joy, how beautiful upon the mountains shall they be. And it came to pass that I beheld the remnant of the seed of my brethren. Now he saw a lot of things. And it's really the remnant of the seed of my brethren is actually what we would call the Indian peoples today. And also the book of the Lamb of God, which had proceeded forth from the mouth of the Jew, which is the Bible. That it came forth from the Gentiles unto the remnant of the seed of my brethren. This book came forth. And after it had come forth unto them, I beheld other books which came forth by the power of the Lamb from the Gentiles unto them, unto the convincing of the Gentiles and the remnant of the seed of my brethren, and also the Jews who were scattered upon all the face of the earth, that the records of the prophets and of the 12 apostles of the Lamb are true. So the Bible is true. And we have this second record which is in harmony with it, completely and totally. And it has many plain and precious things which were removed from the Bible. It has many plain and precious things. I would like to turn over to page 158 and read a little further along this line. It all ties together. Verses 71, and I'm going to go over and cover quite a little bit of this because it all ties with this one in Isaiah. It ties all very well. And it shall come to pass that the Jews shall have the words of the Nephites, and the Nephites shall have the words of the Jews. I want you to notice here that the Jews do not have yet, as a people at least, the words of the Nephites. And I don't know how many of them have even accepted the Book of Mormon, but I'd say it is very, very minimal. It is also minimal those who have accepted Jesus Christ. There are some that have. And the Nephites shall have the words of the Jews. And this would be the Lamanites, and those today, or more specifically, you wouldn't call them Lamanites, the Indian peoples, because they're mingled. The Nephites have even become intermingled with them and almost lost their identity in a way. It does tell about the mixture of thy seed will not utterly be destroyed. So there's a mixture of them among them. And the Nephites and the Jews shall have the words of the lost tribes of Israel. And it's certain that this has not become a reality yet, but one day it will be. And the lost tribes of Israel shall have the words of the Nephites and the Jews. It tells over here in verse 65, it says, "For I command all men, both in the east and the west and the north and the south and in the islands of the sea, that they shall write the words which I shall speak unto them. For out of the books which shall be written, I will judge the world. Every man according to their works, according to that which is written." So these words are important today. It was no chance that they were written and preserved through the ages. There are those that would like to totally have destroyed everything of a spiritual nature. And there are those today that would delight in destroying everything this way. And some of these are great nations, which one day this nation may have to face. In all the reality, in all the awfulness of it, it will become, according to prophets of old, it will be a reality that we'll have to face some of these great nations, and maybe some of these lesser ones as well. But anyway, in verse 73, "And it shall come to pass that my people which are of the house of Israel shall be gathered home unto the lands of their possession." You know, last night I thought, well, I wanted to maybe bring something out today about the gathering of Israel. And the more I studied it, all I did was going to touch on it a little bit. There's a lot that could be brought out. Even several sermons preached on the scattering of Israel, the responsibility of Israel, and their gathering or regathering again to the lands of their inheritance. And we're living in a time when this last part I mentioned will become a reality. For all his word will be gathered in one. And I will shew unto them that fight against my word and against my people, who are the house of Israel, that I am God. And God isn't going to put up with any nonsense from anybody. And that I covenanted with Abraham. So you see how this all ties together with what I brought to start with, of that wonderful promise to Abraham of old, that I would remember his seed forever. But there is qualifications in his remembering the seed of Abraham forever. And it unfolds as I read further. "And now, behold, my beloved brethren, I would speak unto you, for I, Nephi, would not suffer that ye should suppose that you're more righteous than the Gentiles shall be." You don't need to think, just because you're this direct seed of Abraham, that you'll be more righteous than the Gentiles peoples who aren't even of his seed. For behold, except ye shall keep the commandments of God, and there is the key, and no matter who they are, Israel, Gentile, bond or free, or where they are, black or white, or male or female, it's all the same responsibility. Ye shall all likewise perish unless you keep the commandments of God, and because of the words which have been spoken, ye need not suppose that the Gentiles are utterly destroyed. And we can turn to this same book and find a lot of things and prophecies concerning the Gentiles of our day and how they would become a very iniquitous nation. Even our own nation would become one of iniquity. And it would look like, because of these prophets there, that maybe the Gentiles were destroyed. But he says, you need not suppose this, because those that repent will be a part of this covenant, as I already brought out. And unless you keep the commandments of God, ye shall all likewise perish. And, well, I guess I read that. And because of the words which have been spoken, ye need not suppose that the Gentiles are utterly destroyed. For behold, I say unto you, that as many as the Gentiles as will repent are the covenant people of the Lord, and as many as the Jews as will not repent, they're going to be cast off. It's as plain and simple as can be. For the Lord covenanteth with none, save it be with them that repent and believe in his Son, who is the Holy One of Israel. Now there is the responsibility. And so really, when you talk about the covenant with Abraham, those who are of the faith are a part of this covenant. And it all stems back to the importance of the faith of Abraham and believing God, and he pressed out in faith believing. And he goes on here and speaks somewhat more concerning the Jews and the Gentiles. And in verse 80 he says, "For after the book of which I have spoken shall come forth," which is the Book of Mormon, "and be written unto the Gentiles, and sealed up again unto the Lord, there shall be many which shall believe the words which are written, and they shall carry them forth into the remnant of our seed," which we would call the Indians today. "And then shall the remnant of our seed know concerning us, how that we came out from Jerusalem, and that they are descendants of the Jews." So that's why they're referred to as Jews in a large terminology. And yet we know that they're of the seed, it goes right back, of Joseph through Manasseh. "And the gospel of Jesus Christ shall be declared unto them. Wherefore they shall be restored unto the knowledge of their fathers, and also to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, which was had among their fathers." And we know that the knowledge of Jesus Christ was had among this people. We know that after Christ came to this continent, it was just a matter of about 2 years. He came in the ending of the 34th year, and by the 36th year, I believe all were converted unto the Lord on the whole face of the land. And the knowledge of Jesus Christ was had among this people. But the time come when they become lifted up in iniquity, when they become very prideful, they fell, they warred one with another, and this great and marvelous condition that they once enjoyed ceased to exist. But it says that time will come when they'll know of this knowledge of Jesus Christ that was had among their fathers. "And then shall they rejoice because of this." They'll remember this. "For they shall know that it is a blessing unto them from the hand of God." And notice this. "And their scales of darkness shall begin to fall from their eyes." They'll be able to see. "And many generations shall not pass away among them, say they shall be a white and a delightsome people." Even their skin, once again, will become white, according to that. And I believe that, because that happened before. You can turn to 3 Nephi and read it if you want to. I know where to look for it. It tells how those converted Lamanites, who united with them, that they become white like unto the Nephites. And they were in a delightsome people to the Lord. But notice this, "And it shall come to pass that the Jews which are scattered also shall begin to believe in Christ," which really hasn't happened in any scale at all. "And they shall begin to gather in upon the face of the land, and as many as shall believe in Christ shall also become a delightsome people." And they will come into the covenant, and not just because they're of that lineage. It takes responsibility wherever you are and whoever you are. And it shall come to pass that the Lord God shall commend his work among all nations. So let me tell you, there's a lot to be done yet. Kindreds, tongues, and people to bring about the restoration of his people upon the earth. And with righteousness shall the Lord God judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And then this goes on and says, he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. And I believe that rod might even be the word, his word. And with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. For the time speedily cometh that the Lord shall cause a great division among the people. You can read that in Malachi too. And the wicked shall he destroy, and he will spare his people. Yea, even it so be that he must destroy the wicked by fire. So how important it is that we point our lives to that straight and narrow path. If I'd read a little more over there in third chapter, first Nephi, we would have found that straight and narrow path which we must find and press forward to the tree of life by grasping the rod of iron that goes along beside it. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. And then this goes into one of the most beautiful times that anybody could imagine. And then shall the wolf dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid and the calf, and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. And certainly that is not yet, but it will happen in all its detail. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And it even tells of the suckling child playing on the hole of the asp, and he shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den with no harm to them. And yet today in this nation, we know that it is the other way. That if a little child would do this very thing, it could even lose its life. And yet then it will not be that way. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of what? The knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And that's hard to even conceive or comprehend, because most of this earth is water that we see today. We just live on a part of the land. And yet his knowledge will cover the earth. Wherefore the things of all nations shall be made known. And you know, we have other places. In the book of Ether, it tells about the day when the Gentiles shall exercise faith as a brother of Jared, that those things that he saw will be made manifest unto them, even unto the unfolding unto them all his revelations. And you go on further over in that same chapter and find out, he speaks of even the revelations of my servant John, or John the Revelator, will be unfolded in the eyes of people. But that yet has not been. There has been those, even today, who feel they are authorities on the book of Revelations. And there's a lot of things being proclaimed today by various ministers in this nation about the book of Revelations. And yet, I feel a lot of it isn't with the insight that should be. A lot of it is inaccurate information. But one day this will not be that way, because with the gift and power of God it shall be unfolded in its detail. Wherefore the things of all nations shall be made known, yea, all things shall be made known unto the children of men. There is nothing which is secret, save it shall be revealed. There is no work of darkness, save it shall be made manifest in the light. There is nothing which is sealed upon the earth, save it shall be loosed. Wherefore all things which have been revealed unto the children of men shall at that day be revealed. It will be plain knowledge. And Satan shall have power over the hearts of the children of men no more for a long time. So you see, that kind of pinpoints just where that's going to take place. The millennium reign is that time when Satan will have no more power over the hearts of the children of men for a long time. And now, my beloved brethren, I must make an end of my saying. So really, this too is a prophecy of old, a very pertinent prophecy of our day. Even as Isaiah spoke, his prophecy, which first referred to the Jews, I believe really referred to those people there in that area. But it was written because he knew, too, that it would apply today. And, of course, we know that the third verse of what I read there, that the Lord shall comfort Zion, and it will become like the wilderness, like Eden and all that. We know that this will yet unfold in its detail. And really, it is a wonderful, marvelous thing what God yet has in store. But along with all this, we each this day have got a charge and a responsibility to look to the rock from which we're hewn and the hole of the pit from which we have been digged. We must seek the Lord more fully and completely. Those that seek after righteousness and those that seek the Lord must follow Him. And I hope some way that we're able to accomplish this great task. It may not be easy, and sometimes, like people say, I just don't know how I can do more than I'm doing. And yet, today, one of the great things that's really troubling us more than any one single thing is the old cares of this life and this world constantly are making little chips at our reasonable service to God. They're taking away on what we should really be doing.